Turn to Matthew 6, so I was going to read it, but you just sung it. So encourage you to find the outline in your bulletin, please, as we follow along. But this is a familiar scripture passage. We sometimes call the model prayer. It's called the model prayer. Some people call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's an example of what Jesus wants us to do. I thought about this a couple of weeks ago. I want to come back to it, and I didn't get finished this week, so next time I preach, I'll come back to it again. Well, not the next time either, come think of it. But it will come back to it. Let me read again as you look at Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 9. His disciples had talked to him, and Jesus taught about prayer. He said, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Wonderful truths in this passage. When I looked at it earlier, I entitled it, "Use the Prayer Insights Jesus Taught." I don't believe Jesus is saying we got to repeat this all the time, but there are truths and insights about prayer that this passage of Scripture points us to. How many of us really have more than we need right now? When you think about it, we could get by with a lot less. Karen and I learned that lately when our house was all messed up. You can get by if you got something to eat, you got something to wear, a place to stay. It don't have to be fancy. It's just a safe, secure, even those, He'll provide for you. So when he talks about provide our daily bread, He's saying, "God, I'm going to be happy with whatever you provide." Instead of going out today and griping and moaning or in my own heart saying, "God, why didn't you give me something else? Why don't you give me more?" Sometimes I think He doesn't give me more because He knows I won't handle more better anyway. So when I pray that God help me to be content with whatever He provides and tell Him whatever you give me, I'm going to be happy with. It'll sure change our spirit if nothing else. So when I pray about daily needs, I'm saying, "God, you trust me. I'm committing it to you, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing today. Thank you for providing for the day. I thank you I have what I need for the day. And I praise Him for it. And I'm grateful for it." So I thank God that He cares for me. And He's provided many, many wonderful things. John Maxwell, on that note, said that when we are born, we're already in debt. We owe somebody for 9 months of room and board. Well, we're already... Think about it. I know, to me it's interesting he said that. So, when he's talking about caring for our daily needs, I say, "God, I thank you for taking care of my daily bread." Second thing under that is, tell God I'm depending on Him. So when I'm praying, I say, "God, thank you for caring for me, for my daily needs, for what I need right now. You're going to take care of it. You're going to provide for it." And secondly, tell God I'm depending on Him. So when I talk about taking care of my daily needs, I believe that He'll be there tomorrow. Is God really going to be there tomorrow? Or is He going to cease to exist tomorrow? Is He going to be there tomorrow? So tomorrow, when I get there, will He be there? Will He be there to meet my needs tomorrow? So I'm depending on Him now for whatever is going to come in the future. So when I say, "God, take care of my daily needs," I'm trusting Him to provide today, and when tomorrow comes, it'll be sufficient. And I'm telling Him I'm depending on Him. Notice the Scripture says, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." We don't like that last part. We like to think we can handle it all ourselves. Well, maybe you don't, but I sometimes do. And I think most of us do, till the Lord shows us we really are dependent on Him for everything we've got. And that our very existence, the very fact that we're alive, the very fact that we're breathing, the very fact that our heart's beating, the very fact of who we are right now is because God has given it to us. He's provided for us this moment, this day. And so I'm dependent on Him. So when I pray, God, take care of my daily needs, I'm saying, God, I'm trusting You to take care of them today and take care of them tomorrow too. You'll be there for me. So I'm trusting Him that apart from You, I can do nothing, Lord, and I'm trusting for that. The other scripture I've listed, which is familiar, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We say that, and that's a familiar scripture to most of us, probably. My God will supply 90% of your needs. Oh. It doesn't say that, huh? How much? All my needs. All my needs. Does that mean my emotional needs? Does it mean my need for friendship? Does it mean my need for love? See, we sometimes only apply it to food or place to live or money. But I think He's saying, my God has promised I'll meet every need You've got. And I'm convinced He knows my needs better than I know my own needs. I like to tell Him what I need. And I want to tell Him how to do that. But He won't let me. And I'm glad He won't, because I think He's smarter than I am. I think He really knows what I need and how to meet those needs. But He said, I'll supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And that correct in that connection. By the way, how rich is Jesus? He said, according to His riches and glory in Christ. I mean, how much is that? It's beyond our imagination. It's abundant. And so, God's not going to wake up one morning and say, oh, I don't have enough food for you today. He's got it all in Christ. He's in that connection. He is going to supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So, when I say, God, I wake up and I pray, Lord, thank You today. You're going to take care of my daily needs. Give me today my daily bread, what I need, when I need it, to the fullness I need it. And I thank You that You're going to supply it all today. And so I just rest in that. Sure would save us a lot of trouble, wouldn't it? So He'll take care of what's going on today, tomorrow, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same. So when I talk about praying, Lord, give me today my daily bread, that's part of what crossed my mind. Second aspect that I'll look at is verse 13. Talked about, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That first part of the verse. Now, we're well aware God never leads us to do wrong. So He's not saying believing that God leads me into temptation. He doesn't. But we are asking Him to deliver us from evil and keep us from temptation. So if you're writing in on your notes, I just simply said, ask God to deliver me. Ask God to deliver me from temptation and from evil. Are there still, as a believer in Jesus, do you still have to deal with temptation? Does it go away once you become a child of God and start going to worship and you read your Bible? Temptation just vanishes, right? I wish it did. It doesn't. It doesn't. And it may be a good thing, not that we want temptation, but on the other hand, maybe that's a good sign in that we're trying to serve Jesus. Somebody commented, devil don't ever bother you. Maybe you're where He wants you to be, and so He don't have to tempt you. I don't know whether that's true or not, but something to think about. Not that I'm looking for temptation. I don't like it. So ask God to deliver me. Scripture says, therefore, it's necessary for Jesus to be in every respect like us. Is that true? Every respect? Every detail? Yeah. His brothers and sisters, so that He could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. He then could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since He Himself has gone through suffering and temptation, He is able to help us when we are tempted. Hallelujah. Did you ever try to get rid of a habit or a temptation on your own? Did you ever have something, just keeps sort of bugging you, tempting you, and you keep saying, I'm not going to do that, I don't want to do that, and you just keep... And the more you think about not doing it, usually the more you move toward it. But when you come and say, Jesus, You promised, You said in the Word, You have been through all suffering and temptation, You're able to help me when I'm tempted. So I say, Jesus, You know this trouble. You know this that's tempting me. You know this issue that I'm facing. Would You take it away? Would You deal with it? Can He do that? Yes, He will. He will. Otherwise, He wouldn't tell us, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us. How can we pray for it if He can't do it? We pray for it because we believe He can and set our heart and mind on it. So I want to think about being delivered from temptation, which comes. And by the way, temptation is a bigger picture than sometimes we think. What I'm saying is temptation, sometimes we think temptation is to do murder, some kind of sexual immorality or some other stuff. Temptation is all kinds of stuff. Temptation is to buy that new boat when you really don't need it. Temptation is to be angry when you ought not to be. Temptation is... Does the devil know where to get you? And so temptation is whatever he knows is going to get our attention. So he works on those areas. Some things he'll never tempt me for, usually, because he knows I'm probably not going to fall for it. But the other stuff he knows I might, so he works on those areas. So temptation is going to come. I wish it didn't. But what am I going to do with it? The first thing I'm suggesting is I want to recognize the source of temptation on the other side of your notes. If you haven't turned them over yet, on the other side of your notes. Scripture says, let no one say when he is tempted, I mean tempted by God. There's that answer. For God cannot be tempted by evil. Hallelujah. He himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Scripture says, don't say God tempted me. You can say the devil tempted me, though. I believe that Scripture says we're tempted when we're what? Enticed by our own lusts, our own desires. And again, I want you to keep in mind, lust is bigger than sexual lust. Lust is a whole lot of stuff. Anything that grabs our attention. So don't say when I'm tempted, it comes from God. It comes from my own human desires. And that's what it says. When lust is conceived, that is, it's allowed to happen in our life and it produces. What does it produce? Sin. And what does sin produce? Death. Now, I recognize that when you're a child of God, you're always going to be a child of God. But when you disobey God, is there a break in your relationship with God when you deliberately disobey God? There's a spiritual step of death, not eternal death, but a break in the relationship. And now I recognize that when I'm tempted, this strong temptation, whatever that is, where is it coming from? It comes, first of all, as he said, from my own desires, but from behind that, the desire behind that lust is one called the devil. And so I need to stop and think, this temptation that's coming, whatever that is in my life, where is the source of it? What's the root cause of it? Who is behind it all? And ask myself as I pray, Lord, deliver me from temptation. I say, God, help me to remember this is from the devil, and I don't think I want what he's offering. You're well aware that the devil offers beautiful things, but when he gets through, it turns out to be trash and not what he offers. The Scripture talks about, at first, you know, it looks good, and then it bites like a snake. Did you notice the devil never shows you the outcome of doing what he asks you to do, the temptation? He never shows you the full result. He puts in our lives the thought that this will be good, this will be happy, I like it. He didn't tell me the rest of it. Someone said a long time ago, if the people who produce alcohol would put the result of alcoholism up on the posters and billboards, the result of alcohol's art, people probably wouldn't drink as much because they don't look at the outcome. When we get greedy for some special something and we think we want it, and when we get it, we discover it wasn't what we thought and it cost us more than we thought it was, then we decide, well, maybe that wasn't too good. But he didn't show us that part. He doesn't show us the outcome of getting what we think we want when it's not what God wants. So I want to recognize that the temptation has a source beyond me. And when I get it, I'm going to stop and say, well, Lord, help me remember, this isn't from you. It's from my enemy who wants to destroy me, who wants to tear me down, who wants to give a black mark to God in the process. Do you realize the temptation is not only against us, but really the devil's tempting to tempt us because he wants to put a black mark against God. Because the real battle is between us, God, and the devil. And we're involved in the middle of it. So when we're tempted, I need to stop and recognize, wait a minute. Lord, help me remember, This is from the tempter. This is from the lust of the flesh. This is going to cause sin. This is going to produce a spiritual death in my life. I don't want this. I think it will change our response to the temptation. Second way that I think would help us deal with temptation is consistently apply God's Word. Consistently apply God's Word. The passage of Scripture says, "Your Word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you." When I am dealing with an issue or a temptation which comes, by the way, most of the time, does temptation come and we respond immediately, or does it come and then come and then come and then we finally yield to it? Most of the time, it's over a period of time. So we need to go back and say, wait a minute, how does this fit with God's Word? If my heart is filled more with the truth of God and I'm trying to live the truth of God, is that temptation less likely to get me? The more I'm seeking to apply the principles of God's Word in my life day by day, when that temptation comes, I remember, wait a minute, God said this. God said the lust of the flesh is death. Oh, I don't think I want to go there. God shows me the result. And so when I pray, I say, the Word of God tells me things that God wants for me. And so I want to apply the Word of God when that temptation comes. When I think about applying the Word and the truth of God, one of the things I might want to ask myself about that temptation is, what will this do to my Lord? We sometimes think about us or other people, but what does it do to the heart of God if I yield to this? Is God going to be happy with that? Is He going to please with that? See, these are some things we can stop and think about. And I realize we have to make ourselves do it. Because the lust of the flesh and the temptations are not always easy. And they're always insistent. And they don't give us a lot of time to think unless we choose to stop and think and meditate on it. So, wait a minute, this doesn't fit. But the more I have the Word of God in my heart and mind, the better I can recognize this is not from God. This is a temptation. Do you ever find yourself, something comes across your path, and something within you says, you don't want to do that? You don't have an answer. You can't even give a scripture passage for it. You can't explain it, but just something in you says, don't go there. That's because you've been in the Word. You've been with God. You've been praying. And the Spirit of God is saying to you, stop and think about this. Don't do this. Because the Word is there. You've heard me comment before. God can always remind us of Scripture if we've been reading it and studying it. If we haven't, He can't remind us of what we haven't put there. But if we've been doing it, the Spirit of God can, we can't always explain why I ought not to do that or why we ought to do certain things. But the Spirit of God is there, and so I want to apply Scripture. The more I'm putting into my life, what I'm saying is, God, help me to take it. The next area is take the way of escape God provides. We're talking about lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. God provides a way of escape. Again, a familiar passage. It says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. I think the devil uses the first part against us. It says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. Do you ever feel like you're the only one tempted to that? And sometimes I think he makes us think that your temptation is worse than anybody else's. You're worse off than any other person. And then you remember, no, this is other people are tempted to do that. Was Jesus tempted to do anything you're tempted to do? Anything? He says he was. So he understands. And so I want to say, wait a minute. It's common, so I'm not as bad off as the devil wants me to think. But I know that God is faithful. He said he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Now that means you've got to trust him. If you're not trusting him, you won't get in on it. But if you're trusting him, he said with a temptation, along with the temptation, will be a way of escape. A way to get out of it. A way that you can endure it and not yield. And I want to learn to take those. So I want to think about some ways. Then in prayer, I can say to God, to help me deal with that temptation. So the first thing on your notes is, thank God for the price Jesus paid. Thank God for the price Jesus paid it. In the midst of this temptation, I thank you, Jesus, and I say, thank you, Lord, for what you did, for the price you paid on the cross. The Scripture says that being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So when I deal with temptation, if I stop and thank God for what Jesus has done, I meditate on what he's already given me, it makes me think, wait a minute, Jesus has done this much for me. Why do I want to go against him? Why do I want to do this thing that's a contrary to him? Because he's already paid a wonderful price for me. He tells me that he loves me. He died for me. And since he died for me and I'm going to dishonor him, I don't think I want to go there. Because I don't want to dishonor the Lord who saved me, the Jesus who paid the price for me. See, that, to me, this takes my motivation beyond just my level and helps me see that I belong to Jesus Christ who died on the cross and saved me. And he paid that awful price that I could be born again. So why do I want to dishonor him by doing that which I know is contrary to him? The temptation that God, that has come in my way. So I stop and say, thank you, Jesus. You died for me. You did this for me. And I'm asking you to help me remember that and allow that to control my actions, my thoughts, my intent. Because I thank you for the price Jesus paid. Another thing, I thank God that I am a new creation. Thank God that I am a new creation. Scripture says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, what I'm suggesting is this. When that temptation comes, you recognize, I'm a new child of God. I've been born again to the Spirit. I belong to Jesus. I'm a new creation in Christ. I've been forgiven. I'm a redeemed person. And a redeemed person ought not to go there. See, as a new creation, recognizing who I am in Christ, that he has given me a new life, this, I would say, this doesn't belong in a new creation. This activity, this event, this whatever it is I'm being tempted to do, contrary to God, it's out of character for me. And because I'm a new creation in Christ, Jesus has made me new. He's forgiven me. He's made me a new person. I can't go there. I won't go there. Because I want to honor the creation. I want to honor the person that he has made me to be. And think about that. So when that temptation comes and I realize it'll discredit or mar the life that I have in Jesus or my relationship to Jesus, this new creation life, I want to keep it. Another way of thinking about it is, when you buy a new car, do you protect it? I get irritated sometimes because when I go to the parking lot, here's a car parked in two parking spaces. Because they don't want anybody to bother this new vehicle. But do I feel that about my life? I've got a new life in Jesus. And I don't want to mess it up. I don't want anything to come into it that's going to dishonor it or scratch it or ruin it or diminish it in some way. Because I'm a new creation in Christ. No, I can't go there. I won't go there by the grace of God. The next area is, thank God, he has something better. Thank God, he has something better. When I pray, deliver me from temptation, deliver me from evil, I thank God for the price he paid. I thank God for that he made me a new creation, and I thank God that he has something better. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What I'm saying is this, when temptation comes, and they do come, remember, whatever I'm being offered, whatever I'm being asked to do, whatever this temptation urging to do is less than what God has if I'll do his way. God has something better than the devil is offering to you in that moment of temptation. I want to remember that. I want to remember that what I think I want and what is urging on me sounds so good. It's half-hearted and trash compared to what Jesus wants to give me if I'll say no and yes to Jesus. That temptation. God, does he always have something better? Always has something better. Always. Because what God offers is always superior to what the human flesh offers and what the devil offers. Always. So when temptation comes, I'm saying, God, help. Thank you. You've got something better. I'm not going there. I'm going to go the other way. No. I'm going to do this instead. Now, how's all this possible? Through Jesus. You realize that these things that we've talked about and we'll talk about in these scripture passages are possible only in Jesus? The human being can't do this. Only in the grace of God and in the power of Christ, in the power of His Holy Spirit, can these things that Jesus taught us to pray happen. But praise the Lord, you can all belong to Jesus. So today, if you don't belong to Jesus, He died for you on the cross, rose again, ascended to heaven, and He'll save your soul. He'll forgive you if you'll ask Him. And you can become a child of God, and He said, I'll be there with you the rest of your days. I'll help you do this. I'll help you learn to pray like this. Because I'm convinced that not only did Jesus teach that, but He'll help us do it. To learn to pray. Lord, thank you for my daily bread. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you that you're providing for me. I'm depending on you. Thank you, God, that you're going to deliver me today. Because I don't want to yield to that sin. I want what you've got instead. I'm going to go your way. I don't want to go the devil's way. And I thank you. You paid a wonderful price for me. And you made me a new creation. And you got something better. So, Lord, thank you. You'll help me get through this tempting time with victory. Now, doesn't it feel good when you get those temptations and you let Jesus help you and you don't yield to them? Doesn't it feel good when it's over? And you didn't give in after all. It's wonderful. I like the part of a song that says, each time that God delivers us, gives us strength to do it again, to be delivered the next time. Because we win one victory, He'll help us win another one. And we win that one, He'll help us win another one. We discover He won one victory, He can do it again. And there's a joy in our soul simply doing it God's way. So my prayer is that we'll take these principles and say, God, help me. When I pray, Lord, give me my daily bread, deliver me from temptation, deliver me from evil, and I'm trusting you to help me do it. And He'll give us some victories. I believe He wants to give us some victories this week when the temptations come. Let's pray together. You're here without Jesus. My